What's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Ray Bridging Humans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, family? I'm glad y'all came back with me today, and I have a special guest, my guy. How long have we been knowing each other, man? It's been about a year now. A little over a year. His name is, tell me your name. I asked how you want to be introduced, because I call up DP all the time. That's D1 his real name. But you tell the family how you want to be known, right, bro. I mean,
you call me DP, but it's DePaul.
Yes.
But either one, I'm gonna answer these both. It don't really matter.
Yes, it's so interesting because we met loosely through some associates, man. And I think the first time we met, we was at Charles' house.
Exactly.
One of my partners, Charles, and we was at his house. We kicked it, and we instantly connected through conversation, man. And I am so big on connection and so big on conversation. And it was just interesting. As he talked, he said a lot, and I saw a whole lot of traits in him that I saw in myself, a younger version of myself. So I always told her, bro, like, you like a younger me. Now, y'all see, he got a black beard. Like, his beard all black. My beard gray.
Hey, wait till I come that way. It's all good.
My beard all gray. But DP, I'm so glad you decided to be on this episode. This is another episode. We'll be talking about lived experiences. And it's just so important that we get to see everybody's experience. I think certain spaces and certain podcasts is set up only for a certain type of person. But Ray Bridging Humans is literally for the world and the misfits, man. And so we here, man. So I just want to have a conversation with my guy, man. Tell them a little bit about you, man.
All right, so, dang, I just thought about how old I was.
how old are you again, man?
I'm up there. I'm at 36.
Oh, man, look. Yeah. that's cool,
when
though.
When I look at it, I'd be like, really? But, yeah, 36. And I can honestly say it with my chest. Say I'm proud to be like, I don't know where I'm at right now.
Like, that's fair.
At 36, I can look back on certain things and be like, well, if you would have did this different, or hey, okay, you had to go through this to understand this, and you kind of be like, oh, I ain't where I want to be, or you might not be where your peers are, and it kind of makes you look at yourself a little different. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, you got to look at the light and be like, okay, well, you're 36 and you don't have this to deal with, you don't got that to take care of, you don't get, and it's like, all right, so you're still figuring it out, but once you get to your goal, you'll be happy for sure. Whether you just live in a lifestyle that's just like, all right, I'm supposed to be doing this, but you ain't really happy because they say this is what you're supposed to be doing. So, you know.
Cool, man. And I'm gonna tell you something, DP, man. We never all the way get there. You know, it's always a work in progress. And I think that's so courageous and bold of you to be able to be honest in the space and say, I'm 36 years old and I don't know what the fuck is going on, man. That's real, but it's a lot of us there. And I think I feel like the pressure a lot of time is from a linear point of view, because I know our parents, that generation, the boomer generation, even some of the Xers, I think that they come from a mindset that everything's supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to go work a job for 30 years and retire, have 2.5 kids, be married and everything, man. But it just don't work that way anymore. So,
yeah, and it's the funny thing about that is, like, you see that, and then at the same time you have people that, well, if you're close enough to them or if they get vulnerable in certain situations, they'll talk to you about it. And they're like, okay, well, you see it. It looks like it's a straight-laced line. And they got the life, they got the car, the family, and you talk to them when they're vulnerable, they're not happy. They don't really want to be in that situation. Or they got some other stuff going on the side, and it's like, that could ruin this whatever life or perfect lifestyle that you got going on. Or it's really like, man, this is what the expectation was. This is what they wanted me to do. This is what my parents told me to do. Or this is what society was doing. And I fell in that lane because I didn't want to be a misfit, or I didn't want to feel like I was the one that didn't achieve what the lifestyle or goal is, as far as like, okay, well, you know, you go to school, you gotta go to college. When it came down from baby boomers, you know, like, you got to, then you have to be the first one to graduate if that line didn't graduate.
If that line didn't graduate, right.
Then you have to, okay, you gotta go work for this Fortune 500 company or whatever, stay there for 20, 30 years, retire, get your pension. And it's like, do you know how much stress that is to live that life and to have to go through that? And people that are doing that really aren't happy. They're getting off going straight to the bar.
Yeah. Real talk.
I don't want to live that way.
Real talk. Real talk. So what's tell us a little bit about you, man. Like a little bit of that history. Like, I guess with college and how you went with that path and everything, man. Just tell us a little bit about you, man.
So the funny thing is, growing up, my parents put me in pretty much everything. A very diverse individual.
Okay.
I think I kind of branched off more to football because my dad went professional, but he couldn't actually get on the team because he couldn't stay clean.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Really? Okay,
Green
wow.
Bay Packers at that, like,
oh,
84.
Wow, okay. Okay,
yeah,
wow.
He's, like,
wow.
A good running back at that, like,
wow.
That's pretty much, like, me and my brothers, like, our, it's literally in us, like, our body build, our mass, like, we get, our
yes.
gene pool is
yeah, bro,
good.
Wow.
So it's, like, wow. But I think I kind of fell towards football more because, mm-hmm. like, just want to run behind my pops and, like, the relationship growing up with that. So it's kind of like, I want to go to school. I want to play football. But it's like, bro, you at the time, you were only 5'9". Like, dang. I barely made 5'11 now. So it's like, but I had an arm. So it was like, all right, you got to play baseball.
Yeah.
Because I was diverse enough and I played that growing up. It wasn't a problem for me.
Yeah.
So going to college and going, all right, I play baseball in college. And maybe we can make it to the league with that or something. We can do something in some form of sports. But at the same time, being go to school for communications, because if you don't make it, you going to be on the TV some type of way.
Some
like
type
if you ain't
going
to be playing ball,
right.
you going to be talking about
they
it. Like
you're
going to be Stuart Scott some
they
type of
way. You're
going to figure it out. Yeah. So it's like once you get to college, you got people pulling you so many different ways. A lot of my family are all noobs, so you know how they pull you a certain way. And you end up being a freshman player with one of your cousins, and you like, yo, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
You know, living a lifestyle that they want me to live. I like it, but my favorite color blue. So it's it's just a lot of stuff that was going on. So going to college, I understood, yo, this ain't for you.
Okay.
I found that out my freshman year, and even though my mom kept forcing me to go back and keep trying to, I say by the time my supposedly junior year, I was
wow. Like, hey. It's so interesting you say that, though, man, because I got so many partners who went, not that we are knocking college, but I got so many partners that went, bro. And they're not working in the field that they went in, man. So it's like you really wasn't doing what you set out to do, man.
So, for instance, perfect example. And it's funny, like, my mom, who was pushing to go to college and do this and do that, you go to school, she gets her degree in human resources, human resource management. She goes to work at FedEx. She makes her way up. She's the manager of human resources and cargo claims. She does that for a while. She doesn't like the 9-to-5 grind. She honestly hated corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up being a school teacher after that.
Wow.
She got two PhDs, one in education, the other one in like business types. And it's like, you could have had, but because your parents are educators, you didn't want to do that at first.
Yeah.
And then you found out that you really got a love for it, a passion.
Got a love and a passion
for it. You want to actually help kids, and then you want to have your time off with your kids when we were still growing up. So it's kind of like, you go to college for this when you could
have did what you wanted to do from the start. And speaking of passion, man, like clearly y'all look at him, he work out all the time, man. So do you feel like that passion for like fitness, is it how much of it is built in and how much of it is truly like the wellness lifestyle that you try to live, man? Because it's so funny. Even with the bar, I said with the bar, he was like, man, I ain't going to drink too much tonight, Ray, because I got to work out in the morning.
So honestly, at this point in my life, it's 50-50.
Okay.
In the beginning stage, it might have just been hereditary.
Okay.
And, you know, growing up, seeing your dad, family members doing it, knowing that it's in you.
Yeah.
Just messing around with it. Then you playing sports growing up. And then you get to a certain age where it's just like, all right, let's get serious with it. And
yeah.
Then you realize, like, okay. So it's like, yeah, I say it's 50-50 for me.
That's what's up, man. So how did you get here, the current space where you are in life with your self-esteem, with your self-worth? like, what does that mean to you? And how did you get here to this place today, to date?
Literally? All right, so I honestly got tired of having to turn me on and off. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like, okay, so perfect example. You go to the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a certain way. You got to present yourself a certain way. And it's kind of like you can't be all you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get around your boys, especially if it's like the homies, the old black crowd, urban crowd, or it's you got to be a certain way.
Yeah.
But then when you get to yourself or your tight group, it's like, okay, I could really be me.
Yeah.
It's like, how many times you going to turn this shit on and off?
Right.
And I think, honestly, it was like, I was 28, honestly. I remember. By the time I turned 28, it's like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired of walking the line. I'm tired of being on the fence. Because it's like, especially with social media.
Oh, my God.
At 28, I was still messing with Facebook. So it's kind of like, everybody got to help me. Yeah, I ain't doing
shout out to Facebook.
Yeah. Shout out to Facebook. Like, you on that app, man. Look,
yeah, yeah,
you got your family, friends, old friends from college, everybody, yeah. I mean, from high school and stuff, just everybody on your timeline pretty much. And this is like, it's whatever current topic it is on, you feel strong about this, but you got to walk the line. It's like, yeah. I'm tired of type. I ain't not doing this.
Wow. And you make me think about something, man, because I think especially as black men, bro, because we've only ever been black men, right? I think we have to wear so many masks all the time, bro. We got, countless amounts, man, and I'm currently literally, man, like, burning the fuck up some of these masks, bro, because we live a life, and as you said, to your point, we with our close friends, we're a certain way. With the barbershop, we're a certain way. Then we with that close, tight-knit group of friends, we get to be all of us. And so, like, I feel like it's always a chase. It's always a chase to make sure that we fit, man. So,
and I'm so tired of and that's when I got 28. I was like, I don't want to fit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of, like, first of all, you never fit in.
Yeah.
I knew this. Well, yes. I knew it down, but it's like you was looking for the validation of you don't fit in. Well, you don't need nobody to validate that. You're validating it yourself by just going to certain rooms, feeling a certain way, just not – you know energy.
Yes,
and sometimes
absolutely.
When you're young, you probably don't fully understand certain energy, so you might walk in and you feel weird or you feel like, oh, I don't belong here. No, that's your energy telling you that you're different.
Absolutely.
Don't belong here.
Absolutely.
Might only be here because it's somebody that you, quote unquote, probably trying to impress, or a friend that had drug you out and was like, hey, let's go out and hang out.
Yeah.
Or it's just the fact it's like, okay, I'm going to do something different today. And you get there and you're like, okay, I tried it. It ain't for me.
Wow. So what was it about 28? You mentioned 28 a couple times, man. What experience happened to you at 28 that kind of was like the experience that's like, hey, man, yeah, it's a wrap. It's all a wrap.
Right, so at 28, I mean, I had been hearing certain things for a while, and I kind of started dibbling and dabbling in the modeling and acting.
Okay.
And you kind of, you were already on an artistic vibe.
Okay.
It's just moving as you do as far as, like, sports, music, acting, just anything. And certain people would come to you with certain opportunities, and you wouldn't jump at it.
Mm-hmm.
And with me knowing myself, it's like, okay, look here, I'm not finna play this game more. I'm not finna present this anymore. I'm finna give you straight up, this is who I am.
Straight
this is
up.
What I like, this is what I care about. This is what I want. Today it might be this. Tomorrow might be that. But guess what? I'm gonna still be me.
Okay.
And at 28, I was, because it's like, you're about to be 30 and you're not really living your truth. You got 2 years to figure this shit out. So
man,
it's like,
man,
come on, let's get with it.
Bro. And a lot of times, I really go back. Well, not, I don't go back and forth with people, but I think in my head when I hear people say it is, and they kind of make fun of people living their truth, but we as humans, we all have a truth about us. Like, it's not one of us like the next person. So I think we can't discount that, right? Because you said, you know, you want to live your truth, and I think we on this rat race of life, and you get tired after a while, right? You get tired of trying to be everything for everybody, man, and you just turn out to be just a people pleaser who just want to make sure everybody is okay but me. So,
true.
Yeah, man. So it's interesting to hear you say that, man. And I've been asking this question on the lived experience episodes, and I want to ask you, and even before we turn the cameras on, you told me you got a battle with this question, but and I know that you have probably felt all three, but if you think about the totality of your lived experience, which one would you, I guess, associate with most? Do you feel celebrated? Do you feel most accepted? Or do you feel most tolerated in the black community?
It's leaning more towards tolerated.
Wow. Okay. Why would you answer like that?
Because, again, knowing that you're a misfit,
mm-hmm.
and like certain things I can walk in the room and I'll hear conversations and I'll be like, I didn't grow up like that.
Yeah.
And they look at me crazy. Oh, you ain't black.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And certain situations where it's like you're supposed to be celebrated for, it's just like, oh, you're supposed to be able to do that. You're black. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely tolerated.
Wow, man. And it's interesting because just from, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a you sound like you have a well-rounded lived experience. And so I know most black men, honestly, don't kill me for this, but this is what we see. Most black men who have a well-rounded lived experience, and you go to environments where it's mainly hood or mainly people who, you know, don't really have a lot of things you've experienced, you probably gonna get picked on. Man,
the funny part about that too, so it's like definitely, cause it's like you ain't gonna push me over.
Yeah.
So even from being a youngster, I can understand from like elementary school being picked on and tried because, oh, you walk different, you talk different, or your outlook and certain things is different. Oh, okay. See me when we get outside.
Yeah,
and
then come
it's
on.
Like, oh, okay, he is tough.
We gonna square up.
Still black. And it's like you have to go through that from elementary to middle school to high school to college to now you're an adult and it's like you still being tried. As you got it's funny how like leading up to something different.
Okay, we got you it's good. Funny. It's our time. Yeah,
it's fun. So like I love Issa Rae and Insecure.
Okay, but
imagine if she did a 180. If it was from a man's perspective, because she always put herself in a box of like she wasn't black enough.
Yeah,
how they treated her because she was the odd, weird girl.
Yeah,
imagine if it was a black. What if it was Carlton?
Wow.
Like just seriously, and it's like, but he ain't from Bel Air.
Wow.
And I feel like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you get challenged all the time, and it's so weird because it's just like, bro, just let me be me.
So even as you say that and you lived that, what emotion came up for you most? Was it like anger? Was it like shame? Like how did you navigate being a young man who, you know, had, you know, deep lived experiences in certain places and you came in certain environments where they didn't? How did that make you feel?
I was definitely more anger in the beginning stage.
Wow. Okay.
Like the rage is probably 70% of just straight anger.
Yes.
And it's dealing with certain inside insecurities, certain, like, okay, you have father figures, but you didn't have your father there.
Man.
Unfortunately, my situation is a little different. I say unfortunately, my mom wouldn't allow my dad to be in my life.
Okay.
It's like, growing up, I had him the first 3 years, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Till I got six, it was off and on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I knew the good, I knew the bad, but I couldn't get it all.
Wow.
And it's like once he's gone, you kind of dealing with certain things of just, you know, black kid growing up without a father, trying to figure it out, authority figures, like all that. So then once you feel like a outcast from your own people and society is telling you, are you supposed to be this as a black man? So growing up, they kind of pick on you or treat you differently. You're raging already because I ain't got this at home.
Wow.
So then you doing this to me outside, I'm got mad now.
Wow.
So you only get sad when it's like, oh, damn, I thought these people really mess with me.
Wow. And it's interesting to hear you say that, man. And I hear you, and I think about my story. I didn't have one at all. But just to show how stories can really line up, yes, regardless of if you had a father or not, depending on your circumstance, man. So it's interesting to hear that anger was like a key emotion that you kind of went to and you kind of gravitated to, because I know people didn't understand you. A lot of times when we're angry, what we're saying is, no, you don't understand. You're not, right, like, I'm like you. Right. No, chill out. Come closer to me because you're not seeing me. And
right,
a lot of times that's what we feel when we feel anger, man. And that's interesting, bro. That's interesting, man. I want to ask you, speaking of Misfit, because this is a show for Misfits, man. I strategically I'm creating a platform for us, people who didn't always fit in, people who, you know, got picked on, or people who just never all the way fit the mold of what people thought you should be. And so I ask this question to everybody who comes on. What makes you a misfit, or what makes you, what sets you apart from the crowd, man? You look the bill. You look like you got a whole bunch of friends. You look like you the popular guy on campus. You look like, bro, all that. Oh, but what sets you apart from being like the crowd, man?
Because I like some of everything.
Okay.
Like, literally. Like, that's one of the, like, there's, like, for instance, I'll meet somebody today at the gym, and they'll be like, what are you listening to? Now, honestly, it'll be set on something that I'm really listening to, but they'll ask me, like, what do you like to listen to? I'm like, I think listen to a little bit of everything. I get the naming things off. They're like, damn, you listen to that? You do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, being in your society or being around black people, and you know that you look at life a little different than certain people. I mean, yeah, we're gonna agree on a lot of things, but certain things I'm gonna look at it like,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, you ain't black if you don't look at. So I knew I was different.
Wow.
From the beginning.
So I want to ask you with that. Did you grow up in the Memphis area? Or you grew up somewhere else?
So growing up, I was a military kid. I wasn't born here, but I grew up here.
Okay.
But my dad's from LA.
Okay.
And my mom never wanted me to spend my summers here in Memphis.
Oh, wow.
So it was like every summer we're going somewhere different. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, even when going to like summer camp here, we'd be here in summer camp for 2 weeks, then we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Come back again, they were gone. And it's just like, mom's just like, no, you're going to have a life experience. Because she grew up like that.
Okay.
My grandfather being an educator early in the years and him trying to, you know, they wouldn't let black kids get education back in the South back in the day. So
he
had to literally pack his family up and go to Arizona. Like, he's going to Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's going to, like, he has a, it's funny. He literally has a minority scholarship in my name, mm-hmm. and a Ivy League in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wow.
How many black people did you know in St. Paul, Minnesota? Like,
right.
I mean, now is, but like 20, 30 years ago?
Man.
So I always had the diversity there.
Yeah. And I asked you that question specifically, DP, because, bro, around here, you know, in, especially in this Bible Belt South, everybody's so used to everybody doing everything the same way. You go the same, you do the same, you walk the same, you talk the same. So when you see someone who is not doing what everybody is doing, it's like, man, yeah, what's going on with him, man? So to hear your story, to hear your lived experience, I understand you've been a lot of places. You probably live several different places, man, with having a military background, man. So that's really, really interesting, man. So how much of your family is here? Is all your family here now? Or
so, like, my brother's abroad. He lived in Australia for like 10, no, not 10, like 7 years.
Okay.
I think now he's in like Bali, something mm-hmm. like that. He has dual citizenship from the States and Australia. My grandmother's here. My aunt's here. My mom's here. Outside of that, everybody else is spread out for the most part.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting, man. And, dude, like I think one thing that I know we connect on, bro, is your I know it's the well-rounded, being well-rounded. I'm drawn to people and drawn to humans, especially black men who are well-rounded and don't have a linear look on life and a linear look on how they view and see things, man. So hearing you and hearing some of your story, man, when it comes to vulnerability as a black man, like, how do you define vulnerability and how much does that weigh for you in your life?
I take it for what it is, honestly. And to be real with you,
mm-hmm.
I tell people, if I just met them, if we get in a deep conversation, I get vulnerable. I'm like, hey, don't get too close. Or don't do too much because I'll start crying right now. I don't mind. Like, God gave me tear ducts for a reason. Wow. I'm going to cry.
Wow.
Like, I take vulnerability very serious. It's funny. On my birthday, one of my closest friends, he literally got me in my feels that night. Like, I literally started crying right then and there. And it was literally like a simple conversation of, all right, don't make me start telling you this and this. This is what happened. Like, you should have been here. And I literally just started going, like.
Yeah, you went in.
Yeah, because it's like, my emotions was high on some other stuff already, and y'all got me intoxicated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, nah, it ain't like this. And
yeah.
they just start yeah. rolling. And the other friends jumped in, like, nah, hey, when you doing this right?
Yeah.
Like, it started happening now.
but you say that, and how has it been like that always?
Always. Or is that I was the kid that you made him mad, he started fighting, he beating the other kid up, and he crying. That was me.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, always. They're wow. like, why is he crying? He whooping his kid. Like, I'm Aries. I'm very emotional. Oh, man. And I'll let you know it's there.
And I'm going to tell you, bro, I ain't nothing wrong with that. I know as a Leo, a lot of my friends, they can tell you, bro, like, yeah, Raymond is really, really dramatic. Matter of fact, my birthday is mid-August, but they said Raymond real dramatic, and I can be very emotional, and I think that it's just a part of our expression. And y'all, to one thing I don't like when people say, you know, women are more emotional than men. I think that is one of the biggest lies ever, bro. I think that women do better with expressing it. And we are holding that shit in so hard and so tight.
You know why though? Like, you understand? Like, I get why they say that. I mean, statistically, you can probably prove that factor because we're gonna hold ours in, so we're not gonna show we were taught.
Yeah,
it's certain shit that we gotta unlearn.
Yeah,
it's just men,
right?
And it's like you're supposed to just like be like a duck and let the water roll off your back. Just be like, all right, cool, it's whatever. I ain't gonna show it. Or I ain't gonna say nothing. You battling it with something and you just holding it. How much shit you gonna hold in?
Right.
So we don't show our emotion, and it's like it could be something so small, but we'll let it weigh on us inside, and we'll just be holding on to it, and it's just like the whole day now, we holding on to some bull.
Yeah.
We could have let it go. We could have just had our 5 minutes and just be like, okay, he's being dramatic. No, he needs to get it out.
Yeah, real talk.
Because a woman going to do it.
She's going to do it.
She's going on to the next now.
Right. Real talk.
Why can't we do it?
And when I hear you say that, man, I think about, like, if you had a drink can, it hadn't been opened yet, and you just shake it, and it go through a lot. You finally open that mug, it's like, bruh, we're going to bust out wide. I recently recorded an episode on people pleasing, and I say a lot of times we have to look back at our childhood, you know, and if we grew up in environments where we didn't have proper conflict resolution or we wasn't allowed to have agency over our lives, man. Like, think about when you just let stuff happen and that follows us. Like that, those patterns follow us in life. And if I just allow you to do whatever you want to do, like, yeah, man, if we kicking and we hanging out, what you want to eat? I don't care. It's whatever. You know, I got a choice. You know, right. And that's something right. small. But when you think like about that. If you don't speak up and say, bro, like, we'll be all over the place, man. Yes. So, yeah, bro. And so, yeah, that's vulnerability, man. And I ask you that specifically because I know, like, they look at our outer shells, you know, a lot of times. And I don't know why our culture, man, we are straight judge on, I mean, because as men, I know we are physical creatures, and we like to, you know, the physical features. But, dude, like, and so we're more prone to judge on what somebody look like. And we're more prone to judge on what we think they're built and made up of, man. So it's interesting to hear you say that. But I'm glad you are truly open and willing to say, hey, bro, I'm going to cry. I can cry. Yeah. I can cry if I want to.
Big cry, baby.
Real talk.
I can't lie.
Real talk, man. So if you could finish this sentence, man, If I could go back and tell my 15-year-old self something, it would be.
Don't second guess yourself and stick with it, whether it's right or wrong. Just stick with it because it's a lesson learned. Like, I second guess myself so many times because they told me not to do this. Or society said this wasn't right. Or my parents said I should go do this. And it's like, no, that ain't what I want. And whenever it's something that I really want and I'm there for it or I really care, I'm going to make this shit happen. No matter, like how we met.
Yeah. Yeah,
I told you what I wanted, where
yes.
I was trying to go.
Yes, yes.
It literally happened.
Yes.
It might not have been the best situation for me, but that's what I wanted. It's like when I moved back here and I was trying to figure things out, I was like, yeah, I want to go work here.
Yeah.
Do this. And I was in the middle of trying to figure some shit out. And you was like, and you was like, it's going to happen. If this
yeah.
So it's like growing up at 15, I would always second guess it. And I would go with what somebody else would say or what my parents told me to do. And I mean, yeah, it's your parents. You're supposed to listen. And I was a rebellion, like very much. But it was like because I wasn't getting the support from them.
Yeah.
And I looked like the misfit.
Uh-huh.
They were like, all right, let me follow the line. Let me do what they say.
Yeah.
When I could have been over here doing what I wanted.
What you really wanted to do. But think about, man, how much energy we give to how much time we spend doing what other people think we should do versus us just go ahead and doing it in the first place, man.
And that goes back to what you were talking about, the people pleasing.
Yes. Yes.
You're so busy trying to please others when you're not pleasing yourself.
Yes.
And sometimes it's weird. It's because I know situations where, like, your parents say you go live this life or go to school and do this, and you go do it, and then it works out for you, and financially it's the best thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But are you comfortable and happy?
Right.
And sometimes they are. I ain't gonna lie. It works out for them. It's like, okay, yeah, they picked the perfect path for you. It really ain't no such thing as perfect path, but it's working for you.
Yeah.
And you made it work. Who knows what you might have had to sacrifice or what emotions that you had to give up or whatever it is to get there. But what if you would have said, hey, look, what happened to, like, hey, I'm going to support my child's dreams. I'm going to let you grow up and be whatever you want to be. You don't got to be. Oh, no, you got to do this.
Yeah. Man, so hearing you say that, because you have a lot of experiences, bro, and I oftentimes tell people we are a sum total of not just good, but also failures. And if you can be transparent, And tell the audience, when can you remember one of the last times you tried something that you really, really, really wanted to do and it failed? And what did you learn from it?
That's funny. The reason why I say it's funny is because I can't think of it.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, anything I really want, I put my mind
put your mind to it.
And that's, I think that's the issue that I'm having right now.
Okay.
I'm so busy trying to please others or do shit that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not happy and I'm failing with that versus chasing my goal and what I want.
Wow.
I know I'm going to succeed. It's like, I'm really trying to think, like, what was the last thing I tried that I wanted to do? And it didn't work out.
Wow, man. You can pause right there for a second, bro. You said a mouthful, man. You said because most, I can remember, I just remember doing things others want me to do and not necessarily doing what I want to do, man. And that speaks to so many of us, man. It speaks to so many of us. And that's why, like, I push self-awareness now, man. It is so important. And we know what the hell is going on with us, man. And most times, bro, we do it unbeknownst to us. We do it unknowingly. We're so focused on how am I going to show up for the people? How am I going to show up for the people I fuck with? How am I show up for all these people, man? We kind of get lost in there, man. But I want to tell you too, man. One thing I just recently I learned a big lesson in courage, man. Because courage is definitely the ability to put something out there and to understand that I couldn't control how others responded to me. And so I passed that to you, man. So do what it is you want to do. And I oftentimes, when I want to do something, man, or when I have a goal, I want to get something done, I ask myself why like five times, literally about five times, man. And ask that when I answer one why, I ask myself again, but why? I answered that why. Ask myself again, why that? And so to get to the root and the bottom of where you want to be and what you want to be doing. Because that's literally why we got a why. Why you're here, why you even allowed to be here in this space, in this earth, in this time, man. You got a why, man. So that's interesting to hear you say, man. But do you have anything coming up, any goals you got, you're working on, anything that you care to express, man? Okay.
And I know she's a married woman. When you said that, you saw the first thing that clicked.
Yeah, read.
She can't just only have her husband as the only model on Fenty Savage. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you, Ree.
Like, he coming for you, Ree. So what, Molly, where are you with that, man? I see, listen, if y'all follow this cat, I'm going to let him shout out his social media if he desire to, but y'all see this cat on social media, look, he be getting it. He be getting it, man.
So, honestly, right now, it's funny. That's the reason why that's funny right now is because how much do you value yourself? Do you want to sell out?
Wow.
And what's worth it for you? Because wow. I could easily be somewhere right now.
Wow.
On a different level.
Mm-hmm.
But the way my mind work and my morals is like, nigga, you ain't earned it.
Wow.
Or, okay, you sold out. Now you got it. But are you happy because you ain't you?
Wow.
And then the other one is, man, we gonna go your path. Trust in God. Do whatever is best for you. And if you're happy with it, you might not make it to this level that you might have thought you was going to be at, but you're comfortable enough to be like, I'm happy. I'm doing it this way. I didn't have to sell my soul. I'm good. I didn't have to go sit on somebody's couch. Like,
yeah.
And it's like where I'm at right now is we rebranding right now. It's I'm representing me.
Wow.
And I can walk into a room with any brand and be like, hey, look, this is me.
Yeah.
I need something from you. You need something from me. Let's get it. How can we work?
And bro, when I hear you say that, and I think about the time I've known you, and I truly feel like I met you in a time to where you are truly building your foundation. And so I don't want you to think that anything that's going on right now is in vain. DP, nothing that you're dealing with and going through right now is in vain, man. And a lot of times our foundation is built up from murky shit. It's built up from good shit. It's built up from things that we literally cannot control. But God, the creator, he has a way of allowing us to experience certain things, man, to get us certain places. And dude, you are great. You are phenomenal, man. Like bro, I got two memberships. I do. I got a membership at eSporter, and I got a membership at Crunch. And man, I come to Crunch, man, I see this man, I be like, man, let me get my arms looking like that. but not for real, man. You have purpose, man. And I love your journey from when I first met you and you had the thing going on with the jobs, even until now, for you to be figuring it out. I think your story and your life is a testament that we always gonna be figuring this shit out, man. Like, we always going to be trying to figure out where we're going, how we're going to get there. But learning the lessons, like learning when I fail, like getting what I need to get. And I say all the time, get the lesson, bro. Bro, get the lesson, because it's so much about life that – because when we win, bro. That's great. That's good. But when the last time you learned something in winning?
Yeah.
Think about it. Like when the last time you really learned something – while you are winning, the lessons are in the fuck ups. It's in the failures.
It's true.
For real, man. So
I've come the last 2 years, 2.5 years now, there's been so much failure within just doing things that's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm trying to fit in here. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And it's like, that's not your goal. That's not what you want.
Yeah. So
it's like, I'm not doing what I want to do. And when I put my mind to what I want and go my way, don't listen to nothing else, of course I succeed at it and I don't really learn too much from it, but it's just like, all right, keep going.
Yeah.
But when I fail, it's like, all right, DP, that wasn't you.
Yeah.
That energy that you was putting in on that, it needs to be over here somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning that, and it's like you said, building that, it's weird because I'm building that foundation that you're talking about that I'm building now. Like, I literally look at it, like, I sometimes get home at night, and I'll just look back, just sit back and be like, all right, you ain't where you want to be. You're not really happy, but you can wake up and be like, okay, I got another day to do it. Let's
keep going. Yeah, that's real, man. And finding solace and understanding that this is a journey, bro. And it is made up of intentional moments, intentional movements every day. And I know we sometimes, bro, we get frustrated because, man, shit ain't happening the way we want it to happen. It ain't happening when we want it to happen, man. But with understanding that all of us don't have these same stories. And I think a lot of the pressure that being out here, bro, is that, and I don't know where it comes from, but we'll feel like everybody else is doing it but me. Like, everybody else around me is doing it, but I'm just not doing it.
Definitely that. However, it's, you're drawn to everything. Anything that you speak of, like, if you think it, it'll sit on you for a while.
Absolutely.
But if you speak it, you're gonna see it. It's gonna be drawn to you.
Absolutely.
So it's kinda like, if you speak success, you speak certain things, you get around it, you see it.
Yeah.
It's like for instance, if you don't wanna be shit, you're gonna be around a lot of people that ain't got shit going on.
Yeah.
But if you want something out of life, you're gonna be around a lot of people that's successful.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, doing better than you are, looks like it from the outside. So when you're around that, you will look around and be like, damn, am I not doing something right? Or damn,
right.
How do I get? It's like, no, you can't get like them.
Yeah.
That's for them.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can pick their brain.
Yes.
Okay, how do I do this? Or hey, can you hook me up with this as far as networking this? Or not give me something, but like, hey, who do you know in this? Okay, yeah. I need to talk to them.
Or, yes.
Hey,
yes.
I'm trying to do this, and this. How do I get certified in this? Or do you know the person? Then you're going to get yours.
Yeah, man.
So that's why it's always in your head, because it's like you see greatness. You want to be great. It's right there. You can touch it, but you can't grab it and bring it to you.
Right,
and
right.
Until you can actually do that, it's going to constantly be here.
And that voice a lot of times, I'm glad you said that, bro, because that voice a lot of times, it can truly be self-sabotage. That's one of the loudest voices in our head sometimes, man. Self-sabotage. We just fuck it up, you know, and we allow that voice to be so loud, and we have to remember that is not a real voice.
And see, sometimes you have to, well, not sometimes, all the time, you have to check in with certain people and be like, hey,
yes.
Okay, am I tripping right now? Like,
yes.
Because this is what I've been telling myself, and you're from the outside and looking in, and you're really close to me. You're a real friend. You're somebody that I value. What's up? And
yeah.
They tell you, like, oh, no, you ain't tripping. Or, hey, look, this is what you need to be on. Yeah, you definitely tripping.
Yeah.
Sometimes, a lot of times it is self-sabotage, but
yes.
Sometimes it's valid situations going on up there, and it's like you
right.
got somebody from – you can, once again, be vulnerable.
Right.
I somebody just, close enough to you, you
bro, can talk and, to them. And I think I know, I ain't gonna say I think I know that is the aligning right now in this moment for this episode, because communication, like, it's so important for us to communicate so others can comprehend. Because sometimes the thoughts in our head, if we're in isolation, bro, we will get drunk on our own thoughts, man. We get drunk on our own thoughts. And a lot of times, the wall is not as big as it is in our head, man. You know, and to your point, bro, allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to be honest and tell your story and really be forthcoming about what's going on, man, that can literally save your life.
It's starting to save mine. I ain't gonna lie to you, because, like, at this point in my life, at this age, it's like, what are you trying to hold in?
Yeah.
What are you trying to hide? Why are you trying to hide?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to hold this in? Like, put it all out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, once you start to do that, I mean, people are going to either check it or respect it.
Real talk.
And once you figure that out, you move to the next step. Once you get to the next step, it's like, all right, so we out here. This, who really fuck with me?
Real talk.
Then once you get to that step, the next step is, okay, it's understood. You really fuck with me out here. Okay. Now, when I bump my head, I know they got these people set up here to help pick me up. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
And it sounds simple.
But no, it's complex, it, though.
It's so, because, like, at this age, at 36 right now, like, honestly, like, I can honestly say probably, like, within this last year, I honestly stopped letting shit get to me or bother me. Like, it's like, if I know it already, why do I even have to say anything about it or challenge you or say something to you? I already know. It's in here. It's up here. I already know. Why would I say something to you when I know the outcome could be the worst?
Right.
And everybody ain't able to just have conversations.
Right.
So, you know, they might want to take it there. So, it's like, don't even go there. Certain things, you just validated already.
And, bro, you say that, and I think about really the definition of deep character. It's to have the ability to know and understand and be able to emotionally understand that somebody think totally opposite from that, and I have to be okay with it. I just have to be okay with it, man.
Absolutely.
I think we don't have enough tough conversations. A lot of times we get stuck on if we feel like we agree with some or we don't. And so we get stuck there, and we don't allow the nuance to allow help us grow. But I feel like diversity and being well-rounded really, really, really helps push us forward as a community, man. And I always kind of I round up the episode, and I ask the individual if it was one thing you could do to help bridge humans better. If you could do that one thing to bridge humans, what would that be? Anything.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Mainly because my mind's going everywhere right now.
It's cool. Man, it's cool, it's man.
The reason why I say it's tough is because it's like we don't speak to each other. Like I don't like it's so weird in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
It's like certain women are looking at each other sideways, like this bitch thinks she better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why this girl looking at me crazy like that? With us, I ain't speaking to that man.
Yeah,
we're just mean mug each other, right? Versus being like, "What's up, my guy? How you doing?"
Yeah,
it's weird because in other communities, hey, how you doing, man? Don't even know.
Don't even know you.
And it's just instantly.
Yeah,
and it's like that's one way to bridge it. Just. Of course, communicate, like, speak to one another. Like, you don't know what that person has going on in life. Just you speaking to them might have just made their day.
Yes.
You never know. And it's weird. Yes. Like, that brings people so close because, yeah, we're definitely different.
Yeah.
But because I spoke to you, that might have just made you, like, woke some up in you and be like, hey, okay, let me have a good day as far
Real
as
talk.
Somebody new just spoke to me versus, man, I'm holding everything that's going on in me today. I'm mad at the world.
Right.
And speak to you.
You made me think about this, bro. If everything about you and I was the same, if everything about us was exactly the same, how will we grow? How will we? And we're so used to, especially, I mean, because I know we are tribal creatures, bro. We want to belong. All of us want to belong. But if we fill our circles and ourselves with only everybody who think like us, only everybody who have the same opinions as we have, only everybody who have the same lifestyles as we have, bro, we won't grow, bro. And I think that's a part of the beautiful complexities of bridging humans to understand that, bro, if I don't try and connect with you, yes, if you don't try to connect with what I'm doing, bro, and we learn from each other, we're not growing, bro.
And just trying new and different things. Like,
right.
For instance, my best friend is a country white boy.
Okay. Country, I know you talked to me about it before. Yeah.
When I tell you country white boy, I mean like backwood cabin, fishing,
yeah,
hiking,
yeah,
dirt bikes, floating the river.
And you don't ride bikes, but you looking at my bikes over there. You don't ride bikes.
Man, he loves it.
Yeah.
Me, I'm a city boy. I want to be inside. I don't care about all that. I want the nightlife. I'm good.
Yeah.
He don't rock with that. We can coexist because he'll show me some country stuff. I saw him some city. And like, hey, let's get outside. Let's go do this.
Yeah.
And it matches because we're totally different, but we find a liking in what each other are into. And now I find myself, like, for instance, certain times of the year, I want to go to the cabin.
Yeah.
I want to go float the river.
Yeah.
I want to be outside.
Yeah.
I had to learn it from him, though, because at first I'm like, I ain't doing this.
Yeah.
That ain't me.
Yeah.
But if you're on the same thing, oh, yeah, we both like this. We're not going to grow or learn. We're going to do the same thing over and over and over.
Wow. That's good. That's real, man. Y'all, listen, bro. Thank you so, so much for coming on today, man. I'm going to say it right here, right now. You guys will definitely be seeing more of my boy. You're going to be seeing more of my boy. Nah, for real, man. I know we've been discussing and talking about this for a while, man. And I know you got something to say. And I want to tell y'all right here, right now, what he said today, it ain't even 10% of what he had to say.
Okay, this ain't got nothing on me.
But I appreciate you. I appreciate your vulnerability, man. Thank you so, so much. Shout your social media out so people can follow you, man.
Yeah, man. My Instagram is DP Rucker, D-P Rucker, R-U-C-K-E-R.
Yes, yes, man. I appreciate you, bro. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yes, sir, man. This has been another episode of Ray Bridging Humans, the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. Love you, fam.